If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Praise and Honor contains a devotional for each stanza from hymns like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, We Praise and Acknowledge You, O God, and more. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions.
Planned Parenthood agreed that the words on the video were the actual words of the Planned Parenthood personnel. They agreed to that statement. You remember in public they've been saying, oh, deceptively edited. When push came to shove in court where you need evidence, they meekly conceded that, yes, we said all those words.
If you want a divorce for any reason or no reason, you will always get what you want. You will always get divorced. And you can't think of any other civil dispute where you walk into court and you know in advance which side is going to win.
Many pastors who get in trouble have not been able to get the visitation thing going. And it's so vital. It's so parallel to what our Lord did, what St. Paul did, what pastors in the New Testament do.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
Of course, it begins in more progressive urban school districts. A Chicago CBS affiliate reports that a school district there in Chicagoland has decided that two young men who believe themselves to be women but are still anatomically men should be allowed to enter the girls' locker room. And the school board has said, yes, they can do that. An attorney for one of the boys said the fact that she is anatomically male has nothing to do with her gender identity and should have no relevance on whether she is allowed access to the girls' locker room. It's not everything we want, said the attorney, citing that he also wants transgender student IDs. Yet, quote, it's a great first step, and the school districts all across the state and nation are watching, and they certainly are. And this issue is spreading, and it appears to go only one way. The policy only changes toward accommodating transgendered students and never back, despite what parents or students may themselves want. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, November the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about transgender locker rooms in public schools with Joy Pullman of The Federalist. Then a little bit later, Pastor Peter Bender joins us for our Lutheran Catechesis series. We'll be talking about the Lord's Prayer, the Psalter, canticles from Scripture, and hymns. He's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Joining us to discuss transgender locker rooms and public schools, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled As Trans Locker Rooms Spread, Republicans Need to Get Woke on Education Indoctrination Already. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Why are bathrooms and locker rooms, in particular in our schools, why are they apparently a target for the transgender movement?
It's hard to read other people's minds. But I mean, if I had to guess, I would say, well, first of all, bathrooms are obviously one of the, you know, few places that segregation by body type makes perfect sense. And is, you know, we have women in the military, we have women, basically, you know, women and men have basically become integrated in each other's private spaces in so many other areas. And bathrooms and locker rooms are all, you know, one of the few last places that men and women segregate, you know, obviously based on their biological differences. So there's maybe that aspect. And I think the other one, of course, is that what you teach kids, the way that their framework becomes as children is very hard to shake for the rest of their life. The left has for actually centuries been consciously, and especially, I mean, in education, just openly, people who are theorists on the political left of the spectrum, the atheist side of the spectrum, for centuries have consciously wanted to get children as young as they possibly can because they realize that those, you know, are when kids are at their most vulnerable and most likely to be shaped to the way of thinking and behaving that they want them to be.
Tell us this story out of a Chicago school.
So, and this is just an illustration of what has been happening around the country. So recent news out of a suburban school in the Chicago area. This is another one of those ritzy, nice suburban areas. And so this school district is, I've got nearly 12,000 kids and they're all high schoolers. And so since 2015, when the Obama administration told all the schools in the nation that they are in violation of federal discrimination law unless they mix boys and girls in their locker rooms, their sports teams, you know, all these other places where boys and girls tend to be separated. So since 2015, this school has been basically in a series of legal battles, policy regulation battles, and that with the, I guess the new step of their story, you know, 4-year-old story now, was I think it was just last week that their school board voted to allow transgender kids to be in the opposite sex showers, locker rooms, and bathrooms of the kids. Formerly, they had tried to resolve the problem by giving private facilities to transgender children so they could either have a single dressing stall or bathroom or use private staff facilities. But that was deemed unequal and unfair, and so they capitulated to what they really were pushing for, which was open access to locker rooms and so forth.
Has there been any reaction from students, from parents?
Right. Yes. I mean, when you read the local reporting, like I did, and there's a number, you know, local television stations and newspapers. And so, if you look at the school board meeting at which they made this decision, it's packed full of people. They have signs on both sides. A lot of people really paying attention to this issue for obvious reasons. And then, of course, there were people coming up for the usual. I mean, I've complained about this on issues before, the 2-minute comment period, right? So the public gets 2 minutes to, you know, have each person have their say while the school board sits there and basically does whatever they want afterwards. There was public comment period that was cut short and a number of students came up. People on both sides of the issue. I think there was, as if I remember the reporting right, there were 10 people who came up and commented against putting boys and girls locker rooms, and there were 15 people called on in support of that. And then afterwards, the local reporting, one particular interview that I found really poignant was with a young lady who is an athlete. She's a swimmer, and she said, I'm changing in the locker room completely naked several times every single day, and I'm really uncomfortable with a boy being in there, looking at me. Imagine that, So, the young lady was poised and confident, and she was very respectful. People with different opinions, but she was also rather obviously on the verge of tears. And since I've been a teenage girl, I can sympathize with her. It would feel completely awful to have that be the situation that you have to be in. I mean, personally, I was a swimmer also, actually, and I think I would have quit sports completely. There's just no way that would have worked for me. It would have been way too embarrassing.
You say that the ratchet only goes one way, that rescinding these policies, even if there was the will and the votes to do it, is nearly impossible. Why is that?
Right. It's nearly impossible because of the legal situation that we're in. So the odds are stacked against parents trying to change their school board. I mean, if you look at the data for going back over even the last century, it's a very rare thing for school boards to be flipped to one political team to the other, and they are overwhelmingly, tend to be on the left side of the political spectrum, as does the education field in general. And there's all kinds of reasons for that, and one of them is just the simple reason that school board elections are very often not held, in the fall with all the other regular elections, so they have very low turnout. They're in the spring, and so typically, teachers' unions and people on the left, people who are really dialed into education, all the people typically employed by the public school district get to decide, they're the ones who pay attention and show up. And that's just one of the dynamics at play. So parents are already fighting an uphill battle to try to flip their school board over. And they would typically in these cases, so this case was a 5-2 vote for making the new policy of boys and girls bathrooms. And so, parents would clearly they'd have to typically get an entire slate filled. They have to not only support the two who voted against the measure, but get two more people, seats flipped. Anyway, so that's difficult and unlikely enough. But even if, they manage to do it, the legal situation for school boards is really fraught. I mean, the court precedent that we have right now around the nation is mixed. Every court decision that is standing right now, it requires public schools to put boys and girls bathrooms with no exclusions or limits. And so even a school board that doesn't want to do this, which they're hard to find, basically is facing very expensive lawsuits. Then they have to spend taxpayer funds just throwing it down the drain, you know, on the lawsuit rather than on actually educating kids. So just for pragmatic reasons, even that's, you know, less likely to be happening.
Talk about how money is involved in particular. Go into a little more detail about Title IX funds.
The way that the federal government, you know, like I mentioned earlier, this all happened because the Obama administration in 2015 all of a sudden decided that the law that had never said before that boys have to be in girls' locker rooms was, you know, that exact same law that nobody ever thought meant that had to be the case, meant the opposite of what everybody understood it to mean for, let me say, 40 years, you know. And so they said, now this law magically means that boys must be in girls' locker rooms. And they told all, and they sent out what is called the Dear Colleague letter. So it's basically a threat from the federal government that we will investigate you. So that's not, sometimes that includes a lawsuit, but sometimes it just includes the federal government coming and sending a bunch of bureaucrats there and harassing you. And so that's more money, that's more time, that's also more resources. Another way, you know, of pestering school districts and diverting resources away from kids in the classroom. So they, you know, they said it, and also will yank your federal funds if you don't comply. So either, you know, you either or both could have harassment from the federal government or your money funding that the federal government sends public schools pulled away. So this particular school district is a really wealthy one, as I mentioned earlier. I believe they, if I remember the federal data correctly, they spend $25,000 per kid. This is extreme elite private level spending on each student in this district. And of that money, about $560 of it every year for each student comes from the federal government. So that's 2% of their district budget is federal funds. Different districts, of course, have different outlays of federal funds. Some, you know, in some districts, typically the poorest ones, because that's where most federal funds go for, might have as much as, you know, 20, 30% of their funds come from the federal government. But this district had only 2%. So they basically, obviously, this is a rich district. They can come up with money. They could cut, you know, $500 a year and be only at, you know, $24,000 of spending per kid per year. Oh, you know, that wouldn't honestly damage the kids one bit at all. But instead of making those sorts of choices, they decided, you know, that it, you know, the price of getting that, you know, a couple of pieces of silver from the federal government every year was young girls having to be naked in locker rooms next to boys with boy bodies.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She's managing editor of The Federalist. We're talking about transgender locker rooms and public schools. I wonder, what's to stop a cisgendered boy from asking for and getting the same access to the girls' locker room? If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Praise and Honor contains a devotional for each stanza from hymns like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, We Praise and Acknowledge You, O God, and more. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Augustana Lutheran Church in Moscow, Idaho invites you to receive the gifts of Christ with us. We preach Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, risen from the dead for your justification and life. Confessional, sacramental, liturgical. We're a new Missouri Synod congregation on the Palouse. We meet Sundays near the University of Idaho, 1015 West C Street. Bible study 9 a.m., divine service at 10. Find us on Facebook or visit moscowlutheran.org.
Why do the Lutheran confessions quote the ancient church fathers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column, Why We Bother with the Fathers, in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Professor Adam Kuntz details his journey from the Book of Common Prayer to the Book of Concord. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Milken. We're talking with Joy Pullman of The Federalist about transgender locker rooms and public schools. So this is just a curious question, Joy. If the scenario isn't a transgender boy wanting access to the girls' locker rooms, what's to stop a cisgendered boy from asking for and receiving the same access to a girls' locker room?
Nothing. I mean, in all of these, the entire premise of all of this gender identity and gender theory is that it is the person himself who has an internal sense of XY gender, and the person himself is the entire arbiter of whether he is a boy or a girl based entirely on his own subjective feelings and not objective physical reality. So there's nothing to stop a boy who is sexually attracted to girls from declaring himself to be transgender and going into the locker room. I mean, if you say that to people who are on the other side, they will say that's preposterous. It's cruel for you to even raise the question. I mean, but we've had actually documented several hundreds of instances, for example, when Target cross-sexed its bathrooms and its changing areas. It had a huge rash increase in peeping Toms there, you know, because, again, the employees, once they are desensitized to the presence of a male in a female facility, well, anybody who's a guy can just walk right in, and many of them, you know, have taken advantage of that. There have been instances of that happening in locker rooms such as at the YMCA as well. A lot of people just don't know about them because it doesn't fit the media narrative, so it's not reported on as strongly. But they've been documented by, you know, a number of people who pay attention to this issue because they care about women's safety.
If everything is fluid, if everything is self-identification, and it can change at a moment's notice. I mean, I've read the policies, and sometimes it says whatever gender they identify as at the time, there doesn't seem to be any limiting principle whatsoever to stop that from happening, even by pervy boys. I'm a pervy boy. That's how I identify. Come on.
No, you're right. Absolutely. And in none of these cases, actually, have any of the transgender students who are suing to get into the locker rooms, they all still have all of their original body parts. Not that it would make any difference to me. It's still a boy brain, right? Boy eyes. But, you know, so they are being naked with their male genitals next to young ladies with their female private parts. That's what they're asking for.
You say that this situation, not only in Chicago, but everywhere it's being tried, is creating an existential crisis for our nation. What do you mean, Joy?
I mean that a school board or, you know, public school leaders who cannot affirm basic scientific reality that boys and girls are different, is there anything else that we can trust their judgment on? If their judgment is, we'll take money over forcing young girls to be with pubescent boys naked in locker rooms, again, I mean, they just don't have any moral authority, and they don't have any intellectual authority either. And in that case, what's the point, right? How could we trust our most precious thing in this life, our children, to people who make these sorts of moral judgments about them? I just think it's completely impossible. And that's not only just on a personal level, but it's on a societal level as well. I mean, if the people who we trust to, you know, educating our children into adulthood, into maturity, show that they have completely no moral reasoning whatsoever, and they are willing to sell kids for, you know, a couple pieces of silver for the federal government, then I can't trust all the other decisions that they're making with their curriculum day in, day out. Their judgment is just obviously corrupted. Again, it's an existential crisis because there's not really any compromise here, you know, between the two sides. One side says we want naked boys next to naked girls or else, and the other side says that's a complete moral abomination. I mean, the divide on it is basically as stark as the divide on the abortion issue, you know, where one side says, celebrate this as a wonderful thing that frees all people from the bondage of serving children. And the other side says, you know, this is mass murder, state-sponsored mass murder. You know, there's really not a lot of common ground between those. And I think people have not gotten to the moral clarity to understand the fact that these two sides really can't be reconciled, but we're getting there. And I think, you know, as these cases spread, more and more of that's going to be available to people. And then the parents who say, you know, who are looking at that and say, look, my daughter is not going to be forced into a school situation like this. I cannot trust the people who cannot protect her from something that basic. You know, they can't even provide basic safety for my daughter in public schools. And those people, that's the majority of the country, it's the majority of parents. And why should our tax dollars and our children be put into a system that not only doesn't serve us, but it destroys, you know, things that are most precious to us? That's completely intolerable. And you know, parents deserve to have that need addressed by their state representatives and their money and their kids returned back to them.
You say that a way of perhaps waking up Republican lawmakers on this issue would be to propose what you call a Hyde Amendment for education indoctrination. How do you make the connection there with the Hyde Amendment?
So the Hyde Amendment is a longstanding federal provision that basically forbids federal money from going to fund abortion because of that moral divide on the issue. Lawmakers have even, you know, from both parties for a very long time, although that's breaking on the left. They've been actually, the Democrats have been demanding that. But it's been a longstanding position between right and left as a kind of compromise. Because half the country finds abortion to be a moral abomination, we won't force them to pay for it to violate their consciences. And I think, as I just mentioned a bit ago, the same is true about the moral abomination of transgenderism, as well as just the intellectual abomination of it all. And our Republican lawmakers are supposed to typically represent the people who believe that men and women are different. And they've been doing a really, really poor job of actually meeting the needs of their constituents on this issue. I mean, I think they just want to put their heads in the sand and pretend that nothing's going to happen and it's all going to blow over. I mean, I don't want that to be true. I mean, I wish that were true, but I think that's completely naive. I mean, anyway, we have a left who chases people into their sand holes, right, and drags them out kicking and screaming. If you just look at what happened with Chick-fil-A recently, where they switched, you know, from funding Christian organizations with their charitable donations to funding pro-LGBT organizations. Anyway, so we really need our lawmakers to shift along with the shifting culture and actually pay attention to the way that reality is now. And the reality is that, you know, a very large amount of peoples believe that the way that public schools are going is untenable for their kids. And they therefore deserve, again, to reclaim their own money and their own kids and to have a system of education that works for them rather than indoctrinates and you know, emotionally manipulates and spiritually, you know, manipulates and exposes their kids to evil.
You say that it is high time for people of faith and, frankly, of science in this case to enact boycott, divestment, sanction policies. What does that look like?
I mean, again, none of our taxpayer dollars should go to pay for all of this. Any public school, you know, that is using my money and your money to force little girls to look at male genitals, you got to be kidding me, right? You know, and this is true not just at K-12, you know, but in higher education as well, which is pumping out all the people who are basically, you know, the ideological, you know, culture warriors on this issue against parents and children's rights. And tax dollars should absolutely be pulled from all institutions that, you know, cannot, again, I mean, if they are so bankrupt that they cannot see that men and women are different, which is as plain as nose on all of our faces, then again, they don't deserve tax dollars. You know, it's like, it would be like funding the Rastafarians. It'd be like funding a crazy moon worshiping cult. You know, that's just, it's beyond the pale. And our lawmakers should start treating it like it is.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, and she is author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled, As Trans Locker Rooms Spread, Republicans Need to Get Woke on Education Indoctrination Already. You can read it for yourself under the Listen On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we continue our Lutheran Catechesis series on this Monday, November the 25th, with Pastor Peter Bender, talking about the Lord's Prayer, the Psalter, the Canticles, and hymns. Stay tuned.
This This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study John the Baptist's swan song, Jesus and the Samaritan Woman, the true worship of God, the Samaritans believe in Jesus, and Jesus heals the official son. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Ed Crusum offers Bible-based, Christ-focused Christmas ornaments in various sizes for church and home. Use our Jesse Tree collection to teach your children this Advent and see our new premium ornaments, a crucifixion tableau, angel and shepherds, the Holy Family, Epiphany, and much more. Visit adcrusum.com for unique and theologically sound greeting cards, jewelry, gifts, churchwares, banners, certificates, and housewares. That's adcrusum.com.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augustana Lutheran, Moscow, Idaho. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Winchester, Virginia. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan, St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana, and Trinity Lutheran, Scarsdale, New York. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.